Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Tom Tutaw Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I spoke at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California in April this year, and also at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia in March of 2012. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1" due to the heavy doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis, and hence my nickname, Too Tall. Despite those challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. Find out more about me on my website. It's tom2andtall.com. My guest today is the amazing Robin Marvel. She's a multi-published author and a motivational speaker in the field of personal development. She has devoted her life to encouraging others, which I love is my definite purpose, is that one word, encouraging others, 2 words, I guess. And she's encouraged them to stop looking through the wounded eye of negative experiences and start living, getting their hands dirty in the empowerment of life. And, this is kind of right up my alley. Welcome to the show today, Robin.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Encouraging others. My definite purpose has a number of paragraphs, about 3, but the first sentence is my God-given definite purpose for my life is to encourage as many people as I am able to do. And unfortunately, I encourage them by talking about my arthritis and suffering chronic pain and all that, even though 20 years ago I would have been upset if you told me that's how I'm going to encourage people. So tell us about your journey, because in this day and age, people do need some encouragement. Life is, even in North America, people think we have it licked in other countries, but life is not easy. So tell us about your journey, some of the things you've learned along the way that can help others, encourage others in their situation where they face, wherever they are, because people around the world listen to the radio show.
Well, absolutely. You know, my journey has been one with a lot of bumps and bruises in it, and I really enjoy sharing my story with others because it does help people to see that, you know, we've all gone through these trials and tribulations and we're able to overcome them, and I'm proof of that. Growing up, I grew up in an extremely violent household. My mom and dad, there was a lot of domestic abuse, a lot of alcohol abuse, a lot of drug abuse, cocaine being the drug of choice. It was no big deal to come home and see lines of coke laying on the living room table, you know, as far back as I can remember. It was crazy, you know. There was, like I said, there was a lot of violence, a lot of abuse from my dad to my mom. And when my dad would abuse my mom, he would beat her till she couldn't fight back anymore, and then he would steal me and keep me. It could be weeks, it could be days. It just depended, you know, on what he felt like doing at the time, which is extremely scary for a, you know, a kindergarten-age child or any age child. And my mom finally did get the courage to leave him when I was about 8 years old, but unfortunately she entertained several other abusive relationships. I can remember being in second grade, and I say she had gotten in a fight with a man that she was dating at that time, and he beat her in the front yard with a dog chain and put me and my sisters in the bathtub. And he never hurt us, but he just said, you know, you stay here. And I shimmied out of the window. I mean, it was just a tiny bathroom window, and ran outside just in time to overhear him telling other people he was going to run my mom over, and she was walking down our rocky driveway. And so imagine me, I'm a second grader, I'm running after my mom, 3 in the morning, shoving her in a ditch because I was so scared that he was going to run her over on his way out. And so, it was, you know, that it was just some crazy situations like that. And as I got older, you know, I really didn't have a sense of self-worth. I really didn't learn any of those skills because obviously my mom was not exhibiting them, and I just didn't have that influence in my life to learn to be strong and independent and love yourself. And so as a teenager, age 15, I turned to alcohol and partying really heavily. You know, it wasn't just like on the weekends. I was drinking as much as I could, and I ended up being sexually assaulted by a male friend And that wasn't enough for me to wake up and stop behaving like that, because I ended up pregnant at 16, not in a result of the sexual assault, but for my own choices I was making. And that was kind of when I looked at my life as, you know, I found out I was having a girl, and I said, we're not going to be statistics. And so I started to, I went back to school, and I graduated high school, and I went to college for a couple years. And unfortunately, as life throws things at you, I was about, I think about 22, the end of my age 22, and I kind of dipped back into the partying scene, and I ended up being a very poor mother, a very poor wife. I was just partying all the time again. And at age 23, I really changed my life. I was reading a book called Choosing Happiness, and I thought, you're in control of your own life. I'd never heard that before. You know, the book was had a great impact, and it really opened my eyes. And that was the day. I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday, sitting in my living room and going, this is not how my story's going to end. And if I'm in charge, I'm taking control. And so I started making changes and making new choices and really being responsible for my life. And that's really what's led me to where I'm at right now today.
Wow. That is, that hurts me when I hear of kids that go through challenges. I'm an adult, and it's hard. And one of the reasons I tell people often ask, why do you always say amazing? So you got to give reasons. One of the reasons, I have amazing parents. As you grow older, you realize not everybody has amazing parents, and tremendous blessing that you have if you do have amazing parents. And also, when you hear these things, you think of generational curse, because it happened to your mom. She got rid of one, but she just recruited a bunch of others. And yet today, you've got kids, you are married, right?
Yes. Actually, 12 years.
So how did you, first of all, how did you like, okay, this is not me, I'm breaking this curse and this attraction to the fools of life? And did your husband have to endure some times, or both of you, while you adjust to someone who loves and cares and is a great person?
Well, you know, it's been a long road, because we were both very young when we had our first daughter. He was 21 and I was 16. And so we were kids, having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically grew up together. You know, we had to learn how to grow up together. And if it was going to work, we had to both make these choices, and we had to be all in. And so it's just the point of finding, like, I respect him, he respects me, we complement each other. And it hasn't always been at the point where it is now. I mean, now he's just, like, the most amazing person, and we're best friends, and it's just a great, great relationship. But, you know, we've been through those ups and downs, and where we've had to say to each other, you know, this isn't really working for me, or this isn't working for you. No different actions that we were taking. You know, when I went on that little party binge that I went on when I was about 22, it wasn't a happy time for us, because I was out of control, and it was based on choices that I was making. But I've been able to look at them, and him look at them, and forgive me, and me forgive myself, and move forward from it. And I think that's important in any relationship. You know, you learn, you grow, and you either grow together or you grow apart. And in our situation, we've grown together to form this unbreakable bond, and that's like the foundation and strength of our family and everything I do. I mean, he's been supportive beyond supportive of every single step that I've taken and still to continue to take. And, I mean, that's just, it's amazing. It's really, really awesome.
Wow. And there's a lot of lessons in that, you know, being committed and not giving up. And you know, where you're in that together doesn't mean, a friend of mine says, I'm not always in love with my wife, but he said, I made a decision to love my wife. And so that's when you start looking at the decisions you make in life. And that really helps in all kinds of marriages. And so how did the obstacles you faced affect the work you do now? For instance, with me talking about, you know, living positively with my arthritis about 20 years ago, I would have been really pissed off. I wanted to be a speaker, but I sure didn't want to talk about arthritis. I don't talk about arthritis to my friends or my family. It never comes up in conversation in my private life. It's not something I talk to my wife about. So I was like, wow, someone said your definite purpose is to encourage others from your experiences with your arthritis. Like, oh, come on, find me a different purpose because I don't want that one. But how did your obstacles help you to do what you do now? Because you are encouraging others who we know are in similar circumstances to things you've gone through in your life.
Well, you know, that's what's really cool about what I get to do in life. You know, I'm in love with my job because I get to share my experiences that I've went through and the steps I've taken to balance my own life and to get, you know, move in a positive direction with people who might not yet be there or people who are going through things. I mean, face it, I'm not the only person that's ever been addicted to alcohol, and I'm not the only person who's ever had a baby when they were young or domestic parents, domestically violent parents. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that go on in the world. And it's so cool because I get to say to people, you know what, I've been there, and I made it out, and so can you. And let me share with you what I did and be your helping hand. Because, I mean, ultimately, that's all I want to be to people. I want to be that hand that's helping them up. You know, that to me, I mean, I know that we're all great and we're all divine and we're all amazing, but not everybody knows that about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So going through all of those obstacles and all of the things that I've faced, I can really look people in the eye and be authentic and real and go, you know what, I know it's not always easy, and I know that you can start stepping out of that negative life cycle and you can slip back in it, and it can, you know, you have to get back up and get right back on it because it's easy to fall back into those patterns. And I know. I mean, I didn't just flip a switch and go, okay, now life's going to be great. No, I have to work for it. It's a commitment that I've made to myself and my family and my life to live the way that I do. And so it's so cool. And, you know, like with the obstacles, many people ask me, you know, oh, would you go back, if you could go back and change your childhood, would you make it, you know, a great childhood? And I always tell people instantly, my answer is no. And a lot of people are shocked by that, and they're like, well, you're crazy. And I'm like, I'm not. Because I look at that as experience, and I look at it as learning and growing. And if I had to go through all of that to become who I am today and be able to share who I am today with other people, it was worth every minute of it. Now, do I like it? No. Would I do it for my own children? Absolutely not. But I'm saying it was, that's what it was. So why sit around and wish that it was something different when I can use it to empower people now?
Exactly. And this is kind of a lot of behind what I do, and then people that encourage me, for instance, I think of people with physical challenges because that's what I've gone through. But look at guys like Nick Vujicic and another guy I interviewed, Kyle Maynard, another guy, John Robinson, all born without arms and legs. So when you have that situation, you could sit at home and you can just collect welfare and nobody's ever going to say, well, you know, you should be working. These people are impacting millions and people around the world, and their calendar makes me tired just looking at it. And so, yeah, you have a choice. You have challenges. Are you going to use them to help others, to be a blessing, a benefit somehow to others? Or are you going to be the one that others are going to listen to while you complain about it and talk about it for the rest of your life? It's a tough decision, one you have to make every day, isn't it?
It is, and what's so sad is that society will make excuses, you know, and I talk about that in my new book, is how in society, if, you know, like what you went through physically, if you did just sit at home and do nothing and collect welfare like you were just talking about, nobody would say anything to you. They would be like, oh, that makes sense. He had a really, you know, physically rough time. And just like me, if I was an alcoholic or unproductive person, people would say, oh, well, her childhood was so rough. That makes perfect sense. You know, you hear it all the time, and it's big time on that show Intervention. You see it on A&E Intervention. You know, so society does not help in that way. They kind of give people an excuse. You know, they give them their own limitation handed to them and say, oh, there's a reason. You know, it's just really too bad. So, yep.
Is that a different way than, well, I'm 50, so I don't know if it seems different to me. When I was young, pretty well everyone understood you are personally responsible for your life, and you better not be on welfare because your parents are probably going to be on your case more than anybody else. And yet to now, like, oh, gosh, well, yeah, no wonder you're on welfare. No wonder you're not working. No wonder you're not going to school. No wonder you have this and this and this. And I'm like, OK, Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah, get up and work for it, you know. You're in charge.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't understand the daily choice. Because my wife, sometimes, when we were first married, she would just say something about pain, and then I'd say something. She'd say, well, you're used to having pain. I'm like, sweetie, you don't get used to it every morning. Pain is still pain, and taking forever to get dressed is still taking forever. It's not something I get used to, but I make a decision to answer amazing and be amazing, because
absolutely,
that's a decision I make for other people as well as for myself. When I say it, it encourages myself, but it also helps other people. So it's my choice. But it's not something every day I'm like used to it. I'm like, oh, wow, it's pain. So nice to have you around. Oh, good to see you. You don't get used to it. You have to decide every day, I'm going to use what I have to encourage and bless others, no matter how much it's bothering me or how horrible a time it was that I went through.
Right. Absolutely. It's such an impact that you have on other people. And I think that everyone, you know, has this opportunity to make that impact. And whether you make a negative impact or a positive impact all comes down to what you were just talking about. That's your choice. You know, you can get up and you can whine and complain about the weather and your spouse and your kids and your car and your job and whatever else you can find to complain about, or you can get up and find something good to think about and talk about. And even though, you know, you might find yourself falling back to that complaining, you can start shifting your perception. And, I mean, what is not perception? Everything in the world is perception.
Everything.
It's all in how you see it.
Everything.
And it's
everything.
So great to know that you can change it in an instant if you want.
In an instant. I talk in my talks a lot about perspective because, you know, I say when I think of complaining, because I rarely complain, I think of as if I was complaining to someone who lived in a third world country. And I'm thinking, what would that person think of me? You know, scratch on my car, had to work late, broke my iPhone, whatever thing you could put in there. And the person's in a third world country, she's like, what's this iPhone thing? You know, what, car, wow, scratch, horrible, man. So, come on, it's all perspective. 4 out of 10 people in the world live on less than $2 a day, and I'm nice and you're nice, but we're no more nice than them to be born in countries we're born into. So when you understand that you're blessed just to be born in pretty well North America these days.
It's true. And, you know, I was just reading an article. My husband actually came home from work and said, you need to read this article. And it was on Haiti and how the children down there are they're starving and their hair's turning yellow from starvation. And the one dad was on there saying, all my son got to eat yesterday was a cup of oatmeal, and today he's had a piece of bread and coffee. And I'm thinking, you know, and to me, my initial reaction is, what can I do to help? You know, how can I help? How can I figure something out to ease this pain, you know, that's going on? And I'm so fortunate, and you will rarely find me complain. You know, I don't have anything to complain about, and if I feel like I do, then I have to take a step back and reevaluate my situation, because there are struggles in life, and I'm not pretending there aren't for people, but I'm saying, like we were just saying, it's all perspective. And when you have a bad day, you know what, that's okay. It's okay to have a bad day, but try to refocus on something positive that's coming or going on, or, you know, something like cereal, and your favorite cereal. You're so fortunate to be alive. That's my big argument for people. You know, you complain, but you're alive. You know, you're alive in this world. How freaking awesome is that? To me, I mean, it's
right.
I get so excited about it because I literally am excited to be alive. I love being alive. I love the opportunity to talk. I love the opportunity to walk. You know, how can I take that for granted? And how can you? You know, it's
kind of sad. And if you've been given a blessing to live in a country where you can earn enough and do enough to contribute to helping others, boy, you should feel somewhat embarrassed if you're not doing anything to help people, not only other countries, but in your community, using whatever skills and abilities, because people in third world countries have skills and abilities, but no way that they're ever going to probably get those out to the world. So we have the opportunity to do it. Here's a question. Just rattles around my brain a lot. I know the answer, but I don't see the answer in real life. Do you think anyone can turn their lives around no matter what the situations they have faced, or even in some cases, I see people are just negative. And no matter how much positive I try and throw at them, it's not going to change. So can people turn their lives when they're just negative, or even when they face, oh, I had a friend just face a situation that, you know, when you're 50, very few things shock the pants off you. And this one just blew me away. And so the question goes in my head, can anyone turn their lives around no matter the situations that they face? Give me some perspective on that, because that's one that bounces around in my brain a fair bit.
You know, I absolutely 100% believe that anybody can change their life. I believe that we are given the opportunity to live whatever life we choose to live. Now, I also believe that it is entirely a personal choice. So even though there's people out there that are negative and they don't choose to move forward, that's their choice. And you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. They can read a million self-help books. They can find a million teachers. You know, it doesn't matter. If they don't want to take initiative and move forward in their life and change, they won't. And, you know, I go through this with my own mom. I love her dearly, but she is very negative. She very much does not see what she's worth. And I have tried and tried and tried until the things I've done, the length distance I've gone through, until just recently, sitting at my kitchen table, and she's like, oh, I wish I could do this. And I looked at her and I said, you know what, Mom? You can do all of that. It's your choice. I said, I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face. I can give you all of my books. I can do workshops with you. I can coach you. But if you don't want to make those changes, then you're not going to. So the opportunity's there. It just really comes down to the motivation and the determination and the commitment. You know, those three things are absolutely key in making any change in your life, big or small. So, you know,
What is that? Motivation, determination, and commitment.
Absolutely. Yep.
Ooh.
I'll stand by that forever.
Exactly. And then, you know, when you believe like us, then I pay attention. When people in any circumstance or a social gathering say, I can't, or I wish I could,
mm-hmm.
I pay attention. And, you know, some people, you just feel like, hey, you can. If you'd stop watching 3 hours of TV, and if you stop, you know, wasting time, devote time and energy and focus to it, you can. And so it's tough. But you made a great point. It's always a choice. And that's why I said before that question that I know the answer, but I don't always see it in real life. I know that you can change your thoughts before I even finish this sentence. You can change your thoughts and be more positive and encouraging. But there are people that I've been getting trying to change their thoughts for so long, it's now I'm getting upset. So now I have to start saying, okay. Some people for some time, but at some point when they start upsetting you, then you got to like, okay, let's work on ones who want to choose to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, if somebody doesn't want to change, no matter what you do, you know, they're not going to. And that really that's when you have to realize you have to set up healthy boundaries. And that's what I've had to do with my own family, my sisters in particular. You know, they're repeating the cycles of my mom, of the lifestyle that we lived as children, and that's not something I want to be a part of. Do I love them? I love them. They're my sisters. But do I want them to be a constant in my daily living? No, because I respect myself. You know, it doesn't have to do with them or feeling like I'm better than them or anything like that. That's not the case. It's just that I respect myself too much to have people who want to bring me down and who are negative be a part of my life. And so I'm very picky about who I let into my daily living, and I'm fine with that because I like, you know, it's my choice. It's my life.
Yeah. Exactly. I had a friend say recently she went to a workshop and they said, like, put a piece of paper to the five people that affect your thinking the most negatively. And she couldn't come up with five people. And she thought, wow, my life is going pretty good when I can't think of five people that annoy my thoughts the most. And it's like, wow, that's true. Now, here's a good one, too, one I seem to always talk about. It's the one people ask the most about. The number one Napoleon Hill success principle is definiteness of purpose. And I, when I discovered mine, life is not the same. Life is not the same. When you know your purpose, you know a bunch of things you could ignore and stop doing now. And then somehow the universe just puts people in your place. where you think, wow, how did that happen? So tell me about what do you think the first step to living with motivation and purpose is?
Well, the first step we've already talked about, and I believe it's commitment. I really do. I believe the first step to making anything happen in your life is making the commitment to change. Because, you know, if you're living a negative lifestyle and you're stuck in a space that you're not happy with, whether it's your job, your marriage, your town you live in, whatever it is, if you don't make the choice to step out of that and you don't make the commitment to follow through with it, then what good is it? I mean, you can set a million goals. You can say you're going to do a million things. But if you don't get off your butt and do them, then what, you know, where is it going to get you?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the very first thing you need to do is to find commitment within yourself to what you want to do and then go make it happen.
Mm-hmm. It's not always easy for people, sometimes even of older ages, where they're like, still haven't found that purpose. And once you have it, like you and I, then I feel sorry. I'm like, wow, let's do what we can to know what just will drive the heck out of you for the rest of your life, because I believe everyone has one, and I believe when you discover it, your life just can take off from there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so, yeah. But it's a commitment. You can't be finding your purpose watching, you know, 2.5 Men, whatever they call that show. You can't be finding your purpose if you're sitting around watching that show every night. You're not going to have it there. You got to focus your brain. Think. Sit together and talk to people. What's my purpose? And so it's a commitment. Even if before you start taking the steps, you got to take a commitment of your time and your thinking to find out what it is. So now you have a new book in September. Life
Tech. I do. I'm so excited about my new book coming out, Life Tech: 7 Ways to Balance Your Life, and it is just really effective, gets you taking action, moving forward in your life, and I'm really excited about it.
I love it, and balancing life is so amazing. Napoleon Hill wrote an article one time, the 12 signs of success kind of idea, and financial is at like the bottom, but a lot of balance was in that list of what would take to have a successful life, and money being at the bottom. So balance, like if you're an amazingly successful, world-renowned gazillionaire, but people don't like you, and you look like you're about to drop dead any second, and, you know, you have no faith in anything beyond yourself. I don't want to be that person. I don't think that's successful. So balance. Talk about balance, because that's really important. If you don't have it, if you're only successful in one or two areas, you're going to be unsuccessful as a person overall.
Well, right, and so many people, you know, connect success with finances. The only way they feel like they can be successful is if they're millionaires, and that is just so not accurate, because to be successful means to live a full life, live a purposeful life. You know, you're successful if you're in love with every day, and you're in love with living the life that you live. And there's always more actions you can take to find that life, and that's really what this book boils down to, you know, people getting out there and rekindling that passion for being alive. Because you get stuck in this routine of life. You know, all of us have at some point or another, and many of us are still stuck in that, where you're not where you want to be. Your wheels are spinning. And I'm telling people, you know, you got to dive in, rock the boat, and just find that passion and wake it up and start taking action and living fully. And the only way to do that is to balance all areas, mind, body, and spirit. You know, just like you're saying, if you have one area where you're succeeding at, where you're super financially successful, but yet you're not loving yourself and you're not living, feeling good about life, then what good is all the money? You know, we've seen that a million times. Money cannot buy happiness. I mean, how many times have we heard that? And I know that people say, oh, well, if you have money, it's easy to say that. But it's not the case, because a lot of those people that are financially billionaires or whatever they are, they're not complete. And it shows. It reflects their entire life, and they have unhappy children, and they have unhappy families. So it's just critical to look at all different avenues and all different areas and find that balance and enjoy it.
Exactly, because even if you have that financial success, but if you have horrible health, that you don't have energy, you look horrible, you know, you got to have them all so that you can enjoy each of them the most that you can. And so All the different areas of life have to be looked at. How many are there? I look at social, mental, physical, spiritual, career, social, financial. So six or seven areas. So you talked about seven steps, did you? I love seven steps.
Yep, there's seven steps
nice.
In there. And they're all effective, great ways, you know, great steps to take. And that's what's really powerful about this book is throughout it there's different life checks where you can pause in your reading and ask yourself these questions that are posed and really take a moment to reflect on where you're at, if you're balanced in that area, or where you need to do the work. And there's all sorts of ideas throughout the book of ways to, you know, implement different things into your life that will empower it and maybe make it better or maybe enhance where you're at. And so
yeah.
It's really been a great experience writing it, and I'm so happy to share it with everyone.
Wow. Now you talk about in the book about healing the wounded eye. What is a wounded eye?
Well, you know, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier when I've referenced the show Intervention. I believe that every time we encounter something traumatic, like for me seeing my mom abused as a child, it creates a wound, you know, forming an emotional wound. And then growing up and becoming addicted to alcohol, there's another emotional wound. Now, I could spend my entire life looking through that wound, and here's back to perception, that wounded eye, where every experience I have can be based off of what happened to me in that moment. You know, I'm living through that emotion. And that's where we create these excuses and we create this blaming and we just stay stuck seeing the world through that wounded eye. And so that is really the premise of the wounded eye.
Nice, because, yeah, it's so important that we look after that because that can follow us our whole life. And so people obviously would talk about that as far as maybe blaming or anger towards your parents for their choices and what you've gone through as well in your life, right?
Right, and they're able to make an excuse. You know, that's what it all boils down to. Whenever you have these wounds, you can create an excuse or you can heal that wounded eye and you can start seeing the world through these beautiful rose-colored glasses. You know, it's really an individual choice. It really boils back down to the choices we make and what we choose to heal. And if we choose to heal these scars and these wounds from our childhood and from our whatever experience we had, or if we choose to cover it up with a mask, you know, but eventually, you know, what's going to happen? That mask is going to fade and you're still going to be reflecting exactly what you really are. I mean, you can lie to the world and they can say, how are you doing? And you can say great and you can put on your fake smile and pretend everything's great. But you know when you're looking at yourself what's really going on. And believe me, when you're living a negative, false lifestyle within yourself, it shows on the outside. And that's why people fill it with a void of alcohol or drug abuse or whatever choices that they make to numb themselves from reality.
Exactly. And it's always, again, comes back to our personal choice, and we can make that choice at any time. So it's never too late for anybody to change their direction in life, change their purpose, and take a different path for their life. So the book is out in September, right?
Yep, it's going to be out September 1st, and it will be available all over the place. So anywhere you can get a book, you'll be able to get it.
And you are one of the smart and sometimes lucky people that easy to find you because your website is your name.
Yes, makes it very easy.
RobinMarvel.com, and because your last name is a comic, people know how to spell Marvel, so I don't even have to spell that one. Just RobinMarvel.com.
Absolutely.
And that's where they can go to get a lot of things, because I see you have cool things, Awakening Consciousness, A Woman's Guide, A Boy's Guide, A Girl's Guide, and so lots of cool things on the website. So robinmarvel.com is the best way to find you, and that'll be coming out in September, so as you said, anywhere you buy a book now, you can buy a book when the book comes out. Tell us a few more things in the book. More tips or ideas or secrets you have?
Well, some really great things in the book is I really focus on uncovering the true you. And I was just talking about that a moment ago, but that's what's really important. You know, in order to get down and figure out why you're the way you are, like say you go into a situation and you find yourself hot-tempered. Like maybe you've been hot-tempered as far back as you can remember in your life. Well, in the book, I'm helping people to uncover the reasons why they're a certain way, you know, so that they can heal it and move forward. And that's really powerful, because once you're able to see the actions that you're taking and the reactions that you're having to certain things and why you have them, then you can gain an understanding and start working on healing it and moving past that and changing that part of you if that's what you choose to do. I'm also really big on goals. In the book, I'm helping people. I've created a 3-step action plan in the book to share with people where they can really accomplish. Because, you know, we all set these goals. And, I mean, New Year's resolutions, this is a great example of where we set it and we're gung-ho and we're like, yes, we're going to do that and it's going to get done and this is the way I'm going to do it. And then we get distracted by our daily living and we lose sight of it and we forget the direction we're taking. And usually those goals get put on the back burner. So I've really focused one of the chapters about how we can lose that, get back on that, you know, not get distracted and get back in there and find out why we wanted those goals and how we're going to achieve them and re-spark that fire to get those things accomplished.
Nice, and that's where people develop a passion. They really start believing again that, boy, this is a viable thing, that I could actually do it. And in this day and age, so many things are possible that weren't maybe years ago. And so when you start reigniting that belief and the passion and the ideas they had, that's when you can really help people say, okay, let's at least take a first step. Take a first step. Now, how about some ways that listeners can start to balance their life? Because, boy, you know how people, you got kids and careers and spouses and churches and, oh, man, when you add them all up, people say, balance. I can't balance. Everything's coming at me.
Well, you know, what's really important is for people to realize that it's okay to make you your priority. And I think the reason why people are so scared to make themselves their priorities because we've been taught to always serve everybody else. You know, we're always taking care of our children. We're always taking care of our spouse. We're taking care of our community. We're taking care of whatever needs taken care of, you know. And not just women, men too. I mean, everybody in general is always taking care of something. But it's really important to take care of yourself because you can't give what you don't have. And if you're running yourself right thin because you're trying to give to all of these other people, then you have nothing to give to yourself, and you lose sight of your life, and that's when we end up in a routine, and that's when we end up unhappy and just kind of stuck. And so it's really critical, even if you can set aside 5 minutes a day, and I have 5 children of my own, and I write books, and I'm, you know, homeschooling my girls, and I have tons of things going on too, but I know that it's important for me to take that 5 minutes, and even if it's just reading a book I enjoy or meditating or just deep breathing a couple times, you know, if I have to lock myself in the bathroom to do it, it's okay to do that. And I think that that's so magnificent for somebody to take that time for themselves, because then they start to regain their self-worth and they start to build their confidence. And I know it sounds weird that that would build someone's confidence, but taking that time out for yourself really honors who you are. And that's where your confidence starts to be built, because you're starting to value your own worth. And that's really, really critical. Yeah.
Exactly. And then it starts to build one habit. So you say, before you would say, I don't have time to read 15 minutes a day. But then you pick the time, you set aside the time and the place, and then you start doing it. And then something else comes up that requires 15 minutes a day, and you're like, I can't say I don't have it because I found 15 for this. And so now you know, okay, geez, here's what I did to find 15 minutes to read. Now I need 15 minutes to pray or meditate. Now I need 15 minutes to exercise, or 30 minutes. And so one habit where you start reshifting your time and focusing on yourself helps you, as you said, get confidence and build yourself up that, oh, okay, let's make time for this and this and this. And you really feel a lot better. My life is very full, but it's balanced and it's an organized full. So I'm always happy that, okay, I'm not pursuing this at the expense of that.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean balancing means doing nothing. It means staying really involved in life, but doing it at your choice, at your speed, and in every different area, not just being, you know, blinders on for one specific thing.
Right, and enjoying it. You know, that's a big thing. Enjoy your life. I mean, this is your life. You, even if you live to 100 years, it's not very long, really.
Yeah.
And so,
really, yeah.
You know, enjoy it. Enjoy that you're alive and enjoy that you get the opportunity to see things and experience things and the opportunities that surround you, because once you're open to receiving, I mean, it's going to be delivered. There's an abundance out there for everybody, because I always hear, oh, some people have all the luck. Not true. Some people just work harder than others to get what they want. That's what happens. It's not about luck. It's about getting out there and making things happen. And if you're not enjoying it and you're not open to receiving these amazing things that you deserve, then you're not going to, you know, back to perspective.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, as long as you think you don't deserve them, you're guaranteed already that they're not going to come. And so, yeah, so important that we get this balance in life, and so many people at so many levels, no matter what they do, it's kind of what their key focus is how do I live my life the way I choose and where I can enjoy it. As you say, enjoyment is... it's one of the keys to life. And so enjoy what you do as much as you can. And, you know, make sure you're highly involved in life. I get disappointed at this statistic about 32 hours a week people spend watching TV and online and playing video games. And I'm like, wow, you know how much you can serve and get out there and use your talents to make the world a better place rather than watching a rerun of something.
Yep.
So, wow, very cool. Anything coming up in the near future? You got your book in September. You do some speaking as well, blogging. What is what's the best way to find some ideas and tips that you've got out there online for people to help with various areas of their life other than your website?
Well, people are welcome to join me on Facebook. I have an author page on there.
Oh.
I also have a personal page. So I would love
okay.
to have people join me on there. And that's daily motivation and positivity and empowerment every day. Also, I have
okay.
a newsletter.
Just search Robin Marvel on Facebook?
Yeah, just search Robin Marvel on Facebook. Yep, and there's an author page. And there's also, like I said, my personal page. And I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. I don't really use Twitter that much, though. So your best bet would probably be Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
So,
and
yep.
again, it's not a name where I have to spell anything. Robin Marvel. So look
yep,
it up, people. Connect with Robin. Her book's coming out in September. So on a lot of these places, Amazon, those kind of things, sometimes you can pre-order. But make sure when it comes out, check it out. And make sure to purchase the book. I've read through it. It's powerful. And for me to put it in my lineup and read it when I have always like eight on the go, tells people something that I felt a lot of value in reading it, and I put a nice testimonial there for you. So make sure people
Thank
get
you.
The book when it does come out.
Yeah,
thanks for your time today,
that.
Robin, anyone with five kids that's doing as much as you do, that just tires me out just to hear about it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I look forward to helping you promote the book when it comes out. Have an amazing day. Live your purpose like you're doing. And let's together encourage others to take responsibility for their life and make an impact in the world.
Sounds good to me.
Have an amazing day.